I was very recently 33, and like having friends that met people at that age, like when you start a serious relationship at that age, you're thinking like, oh, okay, I'm done with this part now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly it. And I mean, I'll share more about this, but the first 3 weeks of it were like a fairy tale.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Erica. Erica, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, Allie. How are you doing today? Good?
I am good. I am tired. I had a friend in town this weekend.
Same. And it was fun, but also I need to catch up on some sleep.
Yeah. Also, like, I want to go to bed immediately.
I don't blame you.
And it's 8:12 p.m. Yeah. I feel like I just, like, need to recover from the weekend. I have found myself with one of those, like, random bruises that you can't really explain how you acquired.
No, that's the worst.
And I get them all the time. I mean, most of the time it's from volleyball, but I know this one isn't. And so right before we recorded, I actually threw some of my Sunset Lake Arnica salve on it.
Yo, that stuff is a lifesaver, honestly.
It's so good on sore muscles, on bruises. I also, have you tried the recovery lotion?
Yeah, I also like the lotion a lot, and I really like the smell too.
So they came out with a new scent. The previous one was jasmine, and I loved that one. But then in the most recent box that I got of stuff, they have menthol now.
Oh, really? I got to up
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's like very like refreshing.
Yeah, very like cooling sensation.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing is always the gummies. It's just like the easiest so to pop in your mouth. It tastes delicious. Gets the job done. And I will absolutely be using the sleep ones tonight. Those are especially my favorite.
Same. At this point, I take them every night. And they're so good. So if the listeners want to try them out, you can go to sunsetlakecbd.com. Use our code FMH20. Also, we've said it before. We'll say it again. It makes a fantastic gift. Many, many people on my list are getting Sunset Lake products this year.
Fantastic gift. And they make plenty of stuff that's like vegan, gluten-free, like They have everything for everybody. So FMH20 for 20% off, sunsetlakecbd.com.
Yeah. So how are things going? How was your weekend with your friend?
My weekend with my friend was great. I got to catch up with an old basketball teammate of mine from college.
So fun.
It's always great to see her. I usually get to see her about once a year. Really, really fun. We went out. We went dancing, which I have not done in a long time. So, again, ooh, shout out to Sunset Lake CBD. Easing my soreness in my knees a little bit. But my major update for everybody is my Comedy Cellar audition got moved. So I do not have the update on that, as it has not happened as we're recording.
Do you have a new time for it or a new day?
Yeah, now it's this coming weekend.
Oh, great.
So the next episode, we should know, as long as everything goes according to plan and I don't get bumped again. But it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
We're going with the flow. I actually have a very interesting dating update that happened.
Mm.
I've been trying to be back on the apps a little bit more, and I was just swiping, yada, yada. All of a sudden, I got a text from a number I don't have in my phone, and it was a file.
A file?
Yeah, like a file, and I forget what the dot was, but I didn't recognize it. So I was like, this seems like spam.
Or like a virus or something.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to click this. And I texted back and just was like, hey, who is this? And then I got this little paragraph that was like, hey, it's insert name here. We just matched on Bumble, and we actually met after one of your shows a few years ago. And since COVID, I've been out of town, but now I'm back in New York, and I would love to like go out and get a drink sometime.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then when I was texting back and forth, the file changed to, guess what? A voice memo.
Oh shit.
Like, I was like, oh my God, what? And then I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm out right now, which was a lie. I was like, oh, I'll listen to this when I get home. I listened to it then. I think once you like text back, your phone, I don't know, realizes it's not spam. I'm not sure. But I remembered their name, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Look on Bumble. I'm like, oh, I recognize that face.
Yeah.
Listen to the voice memo. And the voice memo was just really nice and friendly of just, hey, same thing. I saw you on Bumble and would really love to like get a drink sometime down back in town, blah, blah, blah. Or like come see a show, etc. And I just was like, I've been having very interesting voice memo karma currently.
I love this for you. Maybe all of my voice memo luck is just on you. That's great. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, because to be honest, you know, I didn't keep hard stats on it when I was doing it on Bumble. Sure.
But people replied to you.
They did. I didn't get zero. But I also wasn't sitting here like I'm getting like 90%, like, sure. Oh my God. Because as the, you know, as the gang knows that listens to the show, I have not gone on an online date in a while. It just hasn't worked out for your girl. But yeah, it was a really kind of weird, pleasant surprise. And at the time, I still had my audition and my friend in town. So I was like, hey, I can't this weekend, but maybe sometime next week, whatever. So it's on me to follow up on that one. And I think I'm going to. And
yeah, man.
Yeah, and it's something that I wasn't like so much younger than I am now when I met this man, but I do remember like this person was very like in pursuit. And I just was kind of thrown off by it. I just think I was a little like, this never happens. What's happening? And I only like talked to him for a little. Right. And I was kind of like, well, Erica, you've been asking the universe for like men that have some confidence and men that make a move and make a plan. And it's like, here's one. Here's one that you really don't have any reason to not go out with.
Yeah.
So
I really love that, because one of the things that we have gotten questions from listeners about this before, and it annoys me, is when somebody has your number and yet uses a dating app to talk to you.
Mm.
So like, it's like, oh, my friend that I know in real life, now I've matched with him on Bumble and we're talking. It's like, bro, you have my number. And if you want to ask me out, you can ask me out.
True on the friend in real life, I would agree. But it's a little like, I think I've said this before on this show, sometimes there's like a trick to changing the medium of both, like if someone leaves you on red or something, but also if you just feel like, I kind of shot a shot, but it was weak, and I was left in the vague, you're almost like, all right, let me restart this somewhere else.
Well, I like that he was like, okay, he confirmed that you are single and interested via Bumble Match, right? So like, it's like there's a reason why he's like popping back up. And then he's like, but I have this person's phone number and I'm going to speak to her there.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
I appreciate a bold move. And like I said, I've complained many a times about men being vague, men not making plans, them being flaky, and I was like, well, you're someone that is not doing any of that and made a bold move, and I respect it. That's made me more into it. So
I love it.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he's seen me do comedy. He knows I do comedy. He's cool about it. All right. Well, why not?
That's
what
great.
What do I have to lose? So that was a nice little fun surprise for me.
Yeah. That's great.
Out of nowhere. Anyway, what about you? What's new with you?
I have yet to hear from Captain Kirk.
Still. Damn.
So last we spoke, well, we spoke to the patrons fairly recently. So the patrons know this already. But last we spoke, it had been like a couple days since we'd last talked. He was still very sick. But it's now been a week since then. And I also texted him this past week asking how he was feeling and did not get a reply.
Yeah, which we don't love.
Going
to be benefit of the doubt, because
we are.
We don't know how sick people are, but
and
it
also
is disappointing.
It is disappointing. Yeah. I am still giving the benefit of the doubt in the sense that like I'm not striking him off the face of the earth. Like, you shall not come back from this, no matter what happens. Status, right. Like that's not where we're at, but it is disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing, though, about this being a matchmaker setup in this circumstance is that she is going to, or already did, I think she emailed him on Friday, follow up with him.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And she's done this before. There was one other guy that she matched me with 6 months ago, maybe earlier this year, who ended up like dropping off face of the earth and ghosted her as well. But and you know, what can you do? He didn't count as a match, obviously. And this guy won't either if we don't go out. But she's able to follow up with them not saying like, hey, I talked to Allie and she said she hasn't heard from you, but more just in like, this is a normal thing that I do. I follow up with people. How are things going? Have you guys gone out? Like kind of playing dumb a little bit.
Yeah. Which I fully support. That's the move.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the whole point of the service. She's facilitating the situation. So she did that. I reached out to her on Friday morning and was like, hey, like, can you check in with this guy? Because I haven't heard from him. I texted him on Wednesday. Crickets. I don't actually know that he's okay.
Yeah. I mean, a little frightening of like, yes, we kind of are past the COVID quote scariness, but it still is like, yeah, last I heard you were sick and
very,
very sick. And didn't he even joke of like, if you don't hear from me, he's on my deathbed or something.
One of the very last things he said to me was a joke about like, if you never hear from me again, like it means I've like crossed over or something like that.
Yeah. Which you're like, haha, at the time. And then you don't hear and you're like, okay, actually right. Concerned.
Now I can still see that text message in our screen when I went back to be like, I did text him, right? Because that's what happened. On Friday, somebody had mentioned him to me and a friend of mine. And I was like, oh, that's right. Did I text him? Mm-hmm. And I like went back in the thing to be like, I did, right? And he never texted me back. And I could see that still on the screen and was like, oh, no.
Mm.
I don't actually – I mean, I think that's there's a very low probability of that, but it's not zero.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just part of you is like actually concerned, and then the other part of you is just a little like, okay, what's going on?
Like, what's
up, I just want the update. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, disappointing. We will hopefully find out. My matchmaker also has software where she can see if someone's opened an email.
Clutch, very clutch.
So, yeah, which she's mentioned to me before. and actually, I've said that on the pod before because when she told me that, I then went into like a panic spiral, like an anxiety spiral about can she see how many times someone has opened an email? Because I open her emails like dozens of times.
I'm going to be honest with you, Allie. I'm pretty sure they can.
I think so, too.
I've been an assistant to a salesperson and they can. They can.
I just hope that she doesn't get an active notification every time I open one of her emails because when she sends me an email about a match, I'm not kidding. I open it probably 25 times.
I mean, I don't think it does, but I mean, if anything, I'd just be like, this is a client that's really invested.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's fine, right? It's just like a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's what's going on with that. We shall see. I did have, however, a very successful Bumble outing just like in the last hour.
Really?
Yeah. So as we've discussed, Sundays are the most popular day for dating apps. That's when the most people are active on dating apps. And so I was sitting here on the couch. I was going to take a nap. I was like, I'm going to be all groggy for the recording if I take a nap. I'll just go to bed right after we finish. So I was like, I got to keep myself awake. So I went onto Bumble and I got a notification of a discounted price for an hour of Spotlight.
Oh, okay. Have you ever done a Spotlight before?
Never, because I've been like, I don't really want to pay for that. I think I get a certain number of free ones with my premium membership. I don't know. I've never really looked into it. I've never considered it. It's never been something that's like seemed worth it to me.
Funny, I've done it on Hinge instead of buying the premium membership.
Oh, interesting.
Because it was cheaper and I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'll just boost it during a busy time and it will just... Because you don't get that many likes if you don't have premium. So I was like, well, I'll try to get this to use other people's likes.
So that was my thought. It's like, okay, Sunday night, I'm in the app. I'm getting this free Spotlight. Why don't I do it? And as we speak, I have 8 matches sitting waiting for me to send them openers.
All right. That'll wake you up. Hello.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, great. And not like... like legit matches. Like I wasn't like, you know, swiping on people that I wouldn't ordinarily swipe on. Like these are like legit people that I'm excited to have matched with. And I haven't sent out the openers. I will when I sign off here. But so Bumble Spotlight, maybe worth it every once in a while. I'm a fan.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to try it. Boost your profile, especially as opposed to like we've all done that. You delete and remake your profile.
Yes.
Because it naturally boosts you. But the problem with that is I'll see the same people.
Yeah, so that's currently happening to me on Hinge. I will say that it is successful. I am getting likes and matches on Hinge at a much higher rate than I was before I deleted and mm-hmm. remade it.
Yeah.
But I am having to weed through people that I've seen a bunch and just like already know that I don't want to match with. Like I'll see their first picture and be like, oh, that guy. No.
Did like, I know what
the rest of his profile is going to say.
Yeah. The longer you're single, the more you just see the same people. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. Some days it bothers me and other days I'm just like, well, guess we're both here.
It's fine. Bumble continues to show me my very good friend's ex-boyfriend.
Not the one that you caught like cheating.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But not someone that I want to date. And right. I like continue to say no and continue to say no. I think the next time I see him, I'm going to block him because I think Bumble has a way of blocking without reporting them, like without it being a bad thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like if you click block and report, it asks you why. And one of the options is like, I just don't want to see this person or I'm just not interested or something innocuous like that.
Interesting. I've wished like every dating app had an option of sync my contacts and don't show me any of these people.
Tinder has that.
It does?
Okay. Yeah, it came out like a year ago. I don't know if everybody has the feature, but I got it as a beta feature. I'm not really on Tinder anymore, but like a year ago it came out. And I was like, this is genius. Like you can basically the way they were messaging it was like you could put in your ex's phone number and never see them.
Okay, because this literally happened to me. Of I got a like from my ex two different times from Eggs Benedict.
So annoying.
And all I could think was like, our phones know everything about us, that like my phone should know that this person's name used to have a heart next to it and now it has nothing next to it. Like the phone should know. The phone should know he's blocked on Instagram. Like they should know. The phone should know.
There should just be like a blocking service where just every app that exists just decides that it just needs to know. Everybody needs to be informed.
Yeah, I would be so happy if every app I could just sync my contacts. Because it's like, I'm a shooter, as I always say. I'm like, I'll make a move. If I am interested in someone, I will make the move. I don't care. I have no shame. So when I see people I know on dating apps, I'm like, yeah, I could text this person. Like,
yeah,
I'm over it. But anyway, still exciting.
So I just got back from Costa Rica and I decided to just fully lean into my curls while I was there and was so happy that I had all of my Pros hair care customized specifically for my hair to take with me.
Oh, that's the best. You need it, especially if you're going to be in those super humid places.
Exactly. And I recently actually started trying their curl cream, which I hadn't used before. I've used their shampoo, their conditioner, their dry shampoo. The curl cream is legit.
Yeah, I like all their stuff. Their dry shampoo is one of my favorites. And I was a little intimidated when I first used it because it was like a powder in my hands. Much better than a lot of the like spray can ones I've tried elsewhere. So it's my go-to for my dry shampoo for sure.
Yeah, it was just really great to not have to worry about my hair. Like it sounds so silly, but it's a good relief.
No, but especially anyone who has travel coming up, we've all been there. You try to bring a hair dryer and it doesn't work. And it's like when you're in the heat, trying to dry your hair with heat is a nightmare. Everybody knows that. So it could be worth it to go to Pros and check out what do they have for your natural hairstyle to help your hair dry naturally even better.
Yeah, and Pros is so confident that you're going to bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order, 50, at pros.com/FMH.
So you get your free consultation and then 50% off at pros.com/FMH. That's PROSE.com/FMH.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
Yeah. So that's been my evening, and I am super excited for this week's episode.
Me too. We have our very first series of story time.
Yeah. So we've been talking for a while about how we wanted to start bringing listener stories onto the pod. And we've been talking about it like in abstract, but hadn't really like done anything about it. And then a listener, Tara Resnick, who everybody will meet in a moment, reached out to me with a really compelling story. And I was like, this actually could work perfectly for this, at the time, unnamed series that we are now calling Storytime. And so this is going to be it's called the first Storytime one. And this one is, you know, Tara's going to be on camera. She's obviously, I've just said her full name. She's not anonymous, but I imagine in the future, we might have some more sensitive topics that might be anonymous. Like this could go in a lot of different directions. And as of now, in our suggestions form at findingmrheight.com/podcast, there is an option to submit your story for a Storytime episode. And there'll be like a video interview that we'll do beforehand, you know, to chat with people and kind of screen people. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. And I'd just like to reiterate that if you don't want your identity to be known, there are many tricks we can do to make sure we disguise that no one knows exactly who you are. But don't hesitate to still submit to the show.
Yeah. Absolutely. So with that, I'm super excited to get to Tara. We will let her introduce herself and tell her story and, you know, talk about why she's here. And can't wait for the rest of this series.
Me either. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah. And we are back with Tara. Hi, Tara. Welcome to Finding Mr. Height, the podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped to be here.
We're so excited to have you.
Yeah, we're so excited. We're so excited to do our first listener story and so just grateful that you reached out to us and kind of kicked off this whole process.
So can you give us just a little bit of background about yourself? What do you do? Where do you work? Just to give a little intro for the listeners.
So I live in Toronto. I work full-time in healthcare at a hospital, a local hospital. And my side hustle is teaching spin. So I teach spin 3 times a week at a boutique studio in Toronto.
So tell us, Tara, what brought you to us? Like what, you know, kind of compelled you to reach out to us? Why are you here?
Sure. So I was in an almost 5-year relationship. We lived together and looking back, hindsight's 20/20, it was so toxic and unhealthy in so many ways. But when I was in the thick of it, of course, I couldn't see that. I had everyone in my life, my friends, my family telling me like, this isn't good from, I'm not going to lie, like year one to year almost 5.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And I was just the advocate for this is going to change. This is going to be great. I'm going to fix him. I'm going to change him. And, you know, I got to a point where I realized it was now or never. That if I didn't, that I guess what I'm trying to say is I realized I was settling in a sense that it was easier to stay in it than it was to, quite honestly, blow up my life and start over. It was more comfortable. But the truth is it wasn't easier. It was actually much more difficult. I just couldn't see that.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine. So you met him when you were just doing the math, 32, something like that. You started dating when you were 33. Yeah. And I would imagine just being, I was very recently 33 and like having friends that met people at that age, like when you start a serious relationship at that age, you're thinking like, oh, okay, I'm done with this part now.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. And I mean, I'll share more about this, but the first 3 weeks of it were like a fairy tale. So, oh my gosh.
How so?
Just like right away, like, I'm going to marry you. You're the person for me. Like going so far as to like deliver flowers to my office. I'll never forget after our third date, it was his birthday in a week, and he had asked me to come to his family birthday. And I was uncomfortable with it, which obviously was my gut being like, And I said like, hey, I'm not really ready for that. Like just, you know, after having, I was in a 10 year on and off really unhealthy relationship in my 20s. There's a pattern here, I'm aware. I've done a lot of work, but I did.
We all have them.
Yeah. So after that, I was single for a little bit. And then it was like, here's this guy who's like sending me flowers at my office and like trying to bring me home right away and telling me everything I wanted to hear. Like, this is it. I found it. This is what's, you know, in the Disney movies.
Yeah. Or even, you know, the Sex and the City cab light on.
Exactly. Like,
I found the guy that has the cab light on. He's ready to commit. He's being consistent. He's pursuing me. He's doing things no other man has done. Yeah. And you get swept up in it, obviously. And it feels nice. Yeah. It feels flattering.
Yeah,
it feels great. Yeah. It feels lovely to have it actually happen. And you're like, oh my gosh, someone I was interested in is finally reciprocating and giving me, you know, a little bit of this fairy tale. I've wondered if that was ever true, fairy tale, you know?
100%. I'm almost embarrassed to say, though, like full disclosure, I met him and he was like 2.5 months out of a marriage, still living in the matrimonial home. So if that wasn't like the biggest shiny red flag in my face, like, so yes, that is what it looked like, the Sex and the City moment. But it was also like, I should have seen like, this guy like is not ready to date. I don't know what I was thinking, but we'll get there.
Well, I mean, I think like there's the, you know, that movie, well, it started in a book, but the He's Just Not That Into You. I don't subscribe to like every single thing that's in that book or that movie. But one thing that they say that has always stuck with me is you are not the exception, you're the rule.
Yes, 100%.
And I think that I get that feeling of wanting to be the exception. Like everybody wants to feel special, feel like this is just because it's me. This is just because this is a special thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, Ali, don't judge me. I'm like a huge, he's just not, I've read it like 400 times. I even read It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken when I broke up with him. So I'm like a huge fan of those books.
No, same. It's just that the He's Not That Into You book, some of the advice is like a little bit black and white for me.
Totally.
But I'm not like a rules gal, typically speaking. But I totally am with you. I'm looking currently at my bookshelf of relationship self-help books. So. I'm with you.
I mean, they're amazing. Like it's the problem solver in you. I get it.
Yes, very much so. So, okay. So those first 3 weeks, total magic. Then what?
The only way to describe it is he totally freaked out. Like I've learned this after, to be honest.
Yeah.
I read all of it. And he was at my house and we were having a great night. And then suddenly out of nowhere, he was like, I need to go walk my dog. And I was like, okay. And I remember calling my best friend being like, something's wrong. Like something just like a flip switched. That's what it felt like. And she was like, you're being anxious. You're overthinking. Nothing's wrong. Comes back from the dog walk and is like, I have to go. So I was like, okay. Like, what are you going to say? All right. Bye. In the morning, hadn't heard from him. And I remember texting him and saying like, hey, is everything okay? Because like something doesn't feel right. And then it was all like, I'm not ready for this. I thought I was ready, but you're so amazing. I don't want to lose you. And in that moment, it was so heartbreaking because he had come on so strong that I was just like, okay, bye. Like I knew this isn't a guy I want to talk to about it. This isn't like I needed to call my committee, my friends, my family. Like I needed to sort of debrief with them and just feel my feelings. From that point on, for the following 6 months, it was like, the push-pull that I think attracts a lot of anxiously attached folks. The like, I can't be with you. I'm not ready. But oh my God, you're on a date with someone. I'm going to show up at your condo. Or like,
wait, what?
Oh. Whoa, I wouldn't say that's a stereotypical push-pull.
Oh, no. Sorry. Oh. Let me clarify. No. Sorry. Let me rephrase. Didn't show up on my date. Like when I got home from my date. Like he would be like, oh, you were on a date. Like I need to see you right now. And then like would be like, come downstairs. And because and I'm not sure if this is important to note, but I think it is in case there's anyone listening who may have lived through the same thing. I had an emotionally unavailable dad. So I grew up with this kind of vibe, if that makes sense. So this felt very familiar. This like, I love you, I hate you, I love you, I hate you. So that feels like home when you haven't done the work yet.
Yeah.
It was so unhealthy, but I just hadn't done the work yet. That's really what it was. So I, you know, I want to take responsibility. Like, it's not like he was stalking me or doing anything inappropriate. I was fully engaged in the push-pull. I was a fully aware, consenting, like, party here.
Yeah.
So for 6 months, it was like, we would go on these like clandestine dates where it was like, we're going to go to the zoo or we're going to do a day trip to Buffalo, which probably sounds funny to you guys from New York. But for us, like, we go shopping there and then we come back. We would do these really fun things. And then he would take me home and I would be so sad. Like, I would go home and be like, why does it have to end? Like, why am I not dating this person?
It's the like dopamine crash. Where you like had this like, such a high weekend. I used to feel that way when I was in my long distance relationship, when we weren't together, because we weren't great at communicating when we weren't together. And so it was like these amazing high highs and then just crashes.
And it's the crash. It's like, you know how they say the easiest thing to forget is pain. So the crash would be so intense, but then like a couple days later, he'd be like, want to go to the zoo? And I'd be like, yeah, of course I do. Like, I can't wait to see you. And it would happen all over again. So I'm embarrassed, but I own it. Like, finally, after 6 months of this just nightmare looking back, I was just like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. This hurts way too much.
Yeah.
Like, if you did care about me like you say you do, you wouldn't be doing this. If you're not ready, you'd leave me alone. You know, do your healing, do whatever it is you have to do, and then reach out to me when you're ready. If I'm around, great. If not, timing's everything.
Right. Like, sorry, not sorry.
Exactly. And that was like, it was like a movie made him commit. And he was like, I'm not ready, but I can't lose you. And I want to be your boyfriend, which is what I'd been waiting to hear for 6 months. And
that's, yeah, it's so hard though, because I think that, it, like you said, it's like the movie, but movies make us believe that like, that's how it should be.
Yes.
And that, like, I even was thinking about that when you were talking about him, you know, showing up and saying, I have to see you now. Like, I see a lot of rhetoric out there about like, oh, if he doesn't like you enough to show up like that, like if he doesn't like you enough to be like doing those things, then he's not the one. And it's like, no, that's like actually like possessive behavior. Yes. Like, that's not good.
That's, it's just like, if you like that, like, you need to explore why you like that.
Right.
Like, that's not how it looks or feels. And what I guess, like, the other thing, and I'm really hard on myself and I'm working on that too, but looking back, like, I had all these people who loved me and were like, and all these wonderful role models and examples of healthy relationships. And they were like, Tara, this isn't what it looks like. Like, this isn't okay. Like, I remember I had friends who were calling him fuckboys, and fuckboy. And I was like, he's not a fuckboy. He's the nicest guy I ever met. And it's like, you know, when everyone around you loves you and wants to protect you, and you're like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he committed, and it was just like the 4 years after that, like, everything was a struggle. Everything. Like, he lived at his parents', because when he split up from his ex-wife, he moved into his parents' house, like every well-adjusted grown man does. And I'm sorry, but like, and I was going there and sleeping there. He wouldn't sleep at my place. That was a big no-no. Yeah. I was.
Oh, that's interesting.
I hate myself. Like, I'm hearing myself talk.
No, right now. Don't say that.
But I just can't believe his parents lived like 30 minutes north of the city, and I would drive. I would do anything for this guy. Like, I would drive up there and sleep at his parents' house every single weekend, pack a bag. The guy couldn't even be bothered to sleep at my house once.
Here's the thing. I don't knock anybody for having to move in to their parents' house for whatever reason, right? Especially a divorce. It's expensive. You got assets tied up with another person. I don't knock him for that. But it's just very telling in any relationship of, is this person investing in this as much as I'm investing in this?
Yes. Yeah.
And something as so basic as, whose apartment do you sleep at more? And yours wasn't even a question of more. It was not at yours all. At Never. All.
Not once. And sorry, let me like clarify. I totally agree with you. I would never knock him for moving in. When I said well-adjusted grown man, I guess the part I failed to mention is he did it for like 2 years. There comes a time where it's like, yeah.
You're like, okay, time to, skedaddle.
Yeah, like, exactly. So I just want to make that clear because I totally agree with you. Like, when you're, when I was starting over, it was the middle of the COVID lockdown. If I could have stayed at my parents, I would. That is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, living in a house with your ex, but we'll get there. I have to be honest, like, when we think of like the quintessential like bad guy, he's not it. He's a nice person with a good heart. I think I just made it a little too easy for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, he wasn't like, it sounds like you're saying he wasn't like maliciously.
No.
Like, he didn't have malicious intent.
No.
But that's, but we have a higher bar than that.
Right.
Like, we're not just looking for somebody who's not a bad person. Like, that's not the bar.
Right. We aren't now. We aren't now. We've evolved. Fast forward a couple months after that, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't, like, you know, drive up to the suburb of Toronto all the time and sleep at your parents' house all the time. And this just doesn't feel good. Like, it was clearly my gut screaming, like, no, run.
Yeah.
And then same thing happened. We broke up for a couple weeks, and then it was, I can't live without you. Like, we can't do this. We can't break up. Got back together. It was right before my 35th birthday. And I remember when we were broken up, this was actually like concerning to me. He had said, I'm going to travel on my own. Like, I'm going to solo travel because I just need to escape from my life. Like, it was that latter part that to me was very concerning, but of course still didn't run. So then when we got back together, he was like, let's do it together. It's your 35th birthday. Let's go to Southeast Asia for almost four weeks. So I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, hell yes. Like,
let's go.
Yeah. So we went to Thailand for 2 weeks and Bali for just about 10 days. It was like a magical trip. I'll never forget. It was amazing. And then I remember we had gotten back from that trip and it was back to the like, come sleep at my parents. And, you know, when you spend almost 4 weeks with someone like living together, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm 35. Like, this feels like high school. It was right back to that. And there was always an excuse. Like, he would always have an excuse for why things couldn't move forward. So I remember my dad, who, you know, my dad and I do not have a great relationship, but he's the kind of guy who just sort of tells it like it is, which sometimes is needed in situations like this. And he really liked him, but he was like, what are you doing? Like, you're 35, you want a family, you want to settle down, like, you want to take trips and sleep at his parents' house? Does this feel right for you? And I said, no, you know what? It doesn't. And I needed to hear this from you, because for some reason, like, my dad has been this person who always got through to me. So I said to him, like, not sleeping at your parents' house anymore. If you want to come stay at my place, you're welcome to, but this isn't happening anymore. I'm exhausted and I'm sick of tiptoeing and I'm a grown woman and this just doesn't feel good anymore. So then the excuse was, well, we can't move in together because I'm going to buy a franchise.
Yeah.
What? Just
okay.
Right. My father is the vice president of a franchisor in this, like, a very well-known one. And at the time he was like, okay, that's what he wants. I'm going to get him contacts. Gets him like all kinds of contacts, cards, puts him in touch, does nothing about it. So that's when my dad was like, Tara, this is a stall tactic. Like, how do you not see this?
Yeah.
So then I said exactly that. So then, of course, because it was an argument and I was, which, and I realize now in retrospect, this was like a learned behavior. I was, if I threatened him to leave him, he would move forward.
And that was then how you learned that was what you had to do in order to move things forward in your relationship.
Yes, exactly. And that's not me. I did not recognize myself in this relationship. It's actually frightening to reflect back and think about it. So, of course, because I said, like, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, let's move in together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
that's a tough precedent, because then it's like every single thing that you want now, there has to be that threat of leaving.
And you know what, Allie? Honestly, it became like unconscious. Like, I didn't even realize I was doing it anymore. At the beginning, I did. I'm not going to lie. But it got to a point where it was, yeah, it was just this learned behavior. Like, do it and you'll get what you want. So we moved in together 2 months later. Again, moved 30 minutes north of the city into the suburb because this is where his family was. I remember at the time my dad saying, like, you're not a 905er. That's the area code. Like, you're a 416er, because I grew up in Toronto. And I was like, okay, Dad, it's fine. It'll be really nice. We're going to have a family. Like, it's going to be great. Within a month of living together, it was just like a new obstacle I had to face, which was now children. You know, even just talking about like future children, like we'd be on a hike because we both really like to hike. We'd be on a hike and we would see a kid with their parents like on a hardcore like 14K hike. And I would say like, yeah, that's going to be our kid. Like something like innocent like that.
Yeah.
And you could see him like crawling into his skin. Oh. And I'm anxiously attached and I'm a huge empath. And so I would say like, hey, like, why do you feel that way? Like, what's going on? And he would never even like imply that like he didn't want kids at this stage. He'd be like, oh, I'm not doing that. And you know what? I listened to the pod last week. I am going to tell you with absolute certainty, this was actual gaslighting. When we were first dating and the first time I brought him home to my mom's, we were talking about, we're Jewish, and we were talking about like Hebrew school and we're not really religious. But I said, like, I want my kids to just know where they came from. And he said, like, it's not important to me, but if it was to Tara, our kids would go. He told me that conversation never happened. He's never said he wanted kids. Thankfully, my whole family was there because they were like, no, we remember that question.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was actual gaslighting. And it actually got me thinking, like, oh my God, like, did he tell me all along these past few years that he didn't want kids? Like, is this my stupid decision?
Well, he played that game of, he technically didn't say the sentence, I want children.
You're right.
However, he talked about the future and children were in it.
Exactly.
So that's that bullshit loophole that many people in general do to manipulate. They're like, I didn't say to quit your job.
Yeah.
I said, maybe you should look for another one. It's like, you're implying to leave the job. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't the best example, but yeah.
No, you're totally right.
That's unfortunate. And
you're 100% right. And because I kept getting this vibe, I kept saying to him like, hey, do you not want kids? Like, am I wrong about this? And then it would turn into a big fight. And he would say, I do want kids. Like, this is in your head. I do want kids. At this point, I'm 35, halfway to 36. And I think it's just really shitty when you know that a woman that age wants children to like keep this charade up. Like, at that point, just be like, hey, man, I don't want kids. Like, you shouldn't be with me if that's what you want.
Like, you're consistently bringing it up. Like, that's absolutely something that you want and that you see in your future. And from a biological standpoint, that future is not that long.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now he's still saying, yes, he does want kids. This is in my head. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'm feeling anxious about this because of my age. My doctor, like my family doctor, was like, let's just send you for fertility testing. Let's see where you're at. Let's find out what your baseline is. And then it'll take the pressure off you. Or it'll let you know that like, hey man, if you want this, it's time to do it.
Right.
And what was the conclusion?
He was supposed to come to the appointment and suddenly that day, something came up with work. And I went alone and I was crying in the waiting room. So like to make me go through that alone, at the time he was like, I really have to do this. Is it okay? What am I going to say? No? Like miss this really important work thing? That's just not who I am. He knew that. So I go to this appointment. I find out, I remember sitting in this appointment with the doctor and just crying, being like, this is what I've always wanted. It took me a really long time to meet my person. And now I'm at the, and I was just sitting in her office crying, but still, no, let's keep going, Tara. Let's push forward.
In that moment, you're still referring to him as your person.
Oh yeah. Mm. Of course he's my person. He's my like meant to be. He's my Disney prince. Long story short, because I find out that thankfully, and I'm very grateful for this, at 35, turning 36, I'm in really great shape. So that took a bit of the pressure off. Yeah. So yeah, no, I just figured it is what it is. At least I know I have a little bit of time to figure this out. I was still so delusional that like I thought we were both going to want this one day.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So like I'm, us against the world, whatever happens, we'll figure it out.
Okay. So yeah. You leave the appointment. You're like, okay, I am good.
Yeah.
So you're still in your head of, I would like to have a kid by XYZ, right?
Yeah.
You come home. What do you tell him? How does that conversation go?
Great. Nonchalant, like whatever.
Okay. Great. We got time. Okay.
Like, whatever. Yeah. A week or two later, I want to say, around that, we were talking about it, and this is the newest development. Oh, I only want to adopt. Okay.
That came out of nowhere.
Me being who I was, this anxiously attached, like, fixer, I was like, okay, because I honestly was okay with it. Like, I just wanted to be a mom. It didn't matter to me how I was a mom. I just wanted to have a family. Come January, I remember saying to him, because all my friends were like, okay, if you're going to do this, like, it's like a 4-year wait.
It's a very long process. Yeah.
Really, it can be long. It can be short. It's a gamble.
I have the conversation and he says, no, no, no. I only want to adopt a child from Africa. So I was like, okay, do the research. And I discover that you have to go live there for 2 to 3 months before you can adopt the child and bring it home. So I was like, hey, like, neither of us can do this. Like, we, like, I don't know what world you're living in, but like, I work full time and I've worked really hard to get where I am in my career. Like, this isn't possible. Like, could we make it a bit easier and just do it locally? Oh, I'm not sure that I want kids. In this moment, I remember calling my dad, and my dad was like, Tara, this has all been a stall tactic. Like, how have you not seen this? I don't know. Like, it was that shock, you know, that like wake up call where it's like, oh my God, this is all so clear and you're so dumb.
Finally, your eyes are open.
And was this the moment you were like, okay, I'm out. I got to leave this guy.
You know what, Erica? I wish it was.
God.
Yeah. A couple months went by. I had just started a new job, the role I'm in now, and it was a major, major promotion and something I'd been working like for 10 years towards. So I just thought, like, there's too much going on. There's too much transition. I need to, you know, feel secure in where I am before I start again. There was always an excuse in my head. I was lying to myself. Then, like, 2 months after, it was just like it was not only a constant fight, but it was to the point that I remember one morning, and this was so powerful for me looking back. I teach spin. You guys are both going to think I'm crazy. I teach spin at 6 a.m. I'm just that person. I
love that for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy. I'm just not going to go to your class.
I'm not going to, I won't be there, but I'm excited for you.
Good for you, girl.
I was showering after my 6 a.m. class at the studio, like getting ready to go to work. And I just sat in the shower, stood in the shower and just started bawling, thinking I am so stuck. I am like now 36 and it's February. So my birthday's January. So like, I was already on my way to 37. Like, I can't talk to it. Like, I was like, God. And Allie, something you said last week really resonated with me when you were like, oh, my friends would never have known about this, because I was now at the stage where I stopped talking to people about it.
Yeah.
That's a real bad sign, as discussed.
Oh my God. And like, even like literally my best friends, my family, no one. So, and spin was my outlet. I would just go and check out from the world. So when I got off the bike and went into the shower and it all just came pouring out, I knew like I wasn't okay. And so then I remember I went home and I was just like, and I'm a huge Sex and the City fan. I stole Samantha's line and I was just like, I love you, but I love me more and I'm done with this. Like, I will regret it for the rest of my life if I don't give myself the shot. Moved out, signed a lease in a condo. That lasted 4 months. The entire 4 months, he was blowing up my phone every single day. This I'm really ashamed of. And I'm working every day to stop being so hard on myself about this. But I literally got to a point where I was like, fine, as long as I have you, I don't need to be a mom. I don't need to have a kid. I gave up everything I wanted to be with this man. And I went back and we moved back in. And it lasted like 2 weeks. And I'm so anxious just generally, which like this, I'm not even going to blame this on my anxiety. This is just like a normal need for reassurance. I would say to him, like, where do we stand? Like, what's the plan? Like, I remember my dad would be saying to me, like, I'm saving my pennies. Like, when's the wedding? You moved back in together. And that was an issue. We couldn't talk about that. Like, maybe it would be one day. And, you know, I would say like, oh, sorry, I left out a really key point. He didn't say he didn't want kids now. It was, he doesn't know. So I was still sort of holding on to like, maybe.
Yeah, the story is changing. So not your story, but like his story is changing, like with whatever suits in the moment.
Yeah. And so because I was so anxious, which again, I don't think this was my anxiety. I think this was my own fault for putting myself in a situation that just wasn't meeting my needs. I would say like, hey, like, I'm not feeling great about this. Could we talk about, like, I just want a yes or a no. Like, what's the answer? And he would say to me, if you need an answer now, it's no, but it's not a no.
What?
Right. If I had to answer you right now, it's no, I don't want kids, but it's not a definite no. Mm-hmm. And listen, I don't think a person who doesn't live with anxiety would feel okay with that. But like living with anxiety, hearing that was just like so triggering that I remember I got to a point in like February of 2020 where he would be downstairs and I would be upstairs and I would just be like playing this random game on my phone incessantly because I needed to stop my thoughts. Like I needed to stop obsessing about like what the future was going to look like. And I was beating myself up saying like, this is your anxiety. You're overthinking. Like this is your fault. You need to live with this. And I remember one of my friends was like, you don't need to live with this. You can change your mind just because you moved back in. This isn't your anxiety. You made the wrong choice. It's not too late.
You can undo it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You can always change your mind at every juncture of every relationship.
Yeah.
And that's something that like even people that got the commitment you were looking for and got the kids and got the house and got all the things they wanted still have those decisions to face sometime and still feel that I can't leave now or I can't change now. And it's like you always can change your mind. We're human.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. I think this part is really important to share as well because I want to own it. It got so bad. Like the resentment grew so huge that I became this awful person. Like I was fighting with him about everything other than the main issue. Because I felt like I couldn't talk about it.
Like fighting around the issue.
Oh my God. Like looking back, I'm like embarrassed. Like again, I just don't recognize myself when I look back at that very end, those last few months. It was so toxic. It was so bad.
So how did you kind of get your, like what got you to that point where you're like, this is it. I need to move on.
So it was the lockdown. So March 2020, the world shut down, as we all know. And I was faced with this reality of like, it's him and I and his dog forever. And I was just like, I don't even like him. Like, I don't like you. Oof. I don't want to hang out with you when I can't hang out with my friends and family. Like, I don't like to do the things you like to do. Like, I didn't like him anymore, which was the saddest part. But because the world was in this crisis, it felt like, again, like, oh my God, well, I can't do it now. Like, where am I going to go? Like, nothing was open.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then fast forward to like July 2020. And then I ripped the Band-Aid off. I remember I couldn't take it. I was stuck in the house with him and I couldn't take it anymore. And I booked like a hotel at this like cottage resort up north. And I was just like, I would rather sit in this resort alone than be stuck in the house with this person. And that's when I knew.
Like, that's really telling.
Yeah. So then because it was a lockdown and in Toronto, we were still at a point, I think it was different in New York. We were still like very much locked down. We had the worst lockdowns in the world. I lived in the spare room, which quite honestly wasn't even much of a change. At the end, I was always going to sleep in the spare room. And it was just so toxic. Like the vibe, the energy was so bad that I remember I was like going to hang out in my friends' backyards every second I could and then just coming home to sleep. Mm-hmm. And finally, September of 2020, we both moved out. It was just, again, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It was a horrible situation, but I did it.
Well, I mean, I'm very proud of you for getting to that. You know, I know you talked a lot in that story about being hard on yourself and, you know, being embarrassed. And I think it is so relatable to feel that swept away by someone. And I know that a lot of people will resonate with that, you know, individual pieces of that story and just kind of especially the piece about not recognizing yourself. I mean, I talked about that in our most recent episode or two weeks ago by the time people hear this. But that's just, it's, I think, important to acknowledge that that happens. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't move forward from it and grow and learn, like you obviously have.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's, and that's really why I wanted to share this story, because if someone even told me 2 years ago that life would be as good as it is right now on my own, I would have said, like, you're lying. I should stay.
That's going to be my next question. Tell us about the last two years since then. Been like almost exactly 2 years, right? A little longer.
Exactly. And this part I'm so proud of. So as much as I was just totally self-deprecating, like, this part I am so proud of. And I hope whoever's listening will hear this story. And if they're like on the fence, like, take the leap, because the comeback, as cliche as this is so much better than the setback. I've never been happier in my life. And I'm single right now. And I think that's important to say out loud and with a huge smile on my face. So since then, I've been in two relationships, short ones. It's only been 2 years. One was kind of on and off for a year. But, you know, looking back on them, and my friends and family and I talk about this all the time, looking back on them, on those two relationships, pre him, I would not have ended them as fast as I did. And that is like worth $1 billion to me. I am a different person. So I did a lot of therapy. I did a lot of work on myself. I'm still anxiously attached, but I'm definitely closer to secure than I ever have been in my life. And that to me is the prize for what I went through. It's not, you know, being married and having children. Like, hopefully that'll be my happy ending one day. Who knows? But the real prize for me is that I will never again in my life be in a situation that either doesn't meet my needs or shows me red flags and keep going. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. The bright side of any relationship not working out, regardless of age, regardless of how long you've been together, regardless of mistakes you made in the thing, there's always some lesson you learn, or you just get a better sense for what do I really want.
Yeah.
And especially, I've heard so many women say, I look back at past relationships and there's so many things I put up with that I say never again.
Ever.
I will never again put up with those things. Those are now officially deal breakers for me. Like, lesson learned.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not beat ourselves up about it when we look back. But like, we all are doing the best with the information we have at the time.
Yeah. 100%. So yeah, my happy ending looks a little different, but I've honestly never been happier in my life.
I think that is an incredible happy ending, though, because something that you and I talked about when we like initially chatted is that I feel like a lot of these stories that you hear, a lot of the stories that you hear about women who, you know, ended relationships that were really long, or, you know, when they felt like they were on a timeline and then they kind of like you said, blew up their lives, things like that. Like, I think a lot of those stories, the present day is, and then I met somebody great and now things are great. And while that's awesome, I think it leaves a huge gap for people who are single having done that. And I think it puts a focus, it centers things around the partner. It centers things around being partnered. It's like, oh, I was in a bad partnership, but now it's okay because I'm in a good one.
Yeah.
When like, the moral of the story and the happy ending can be, I was in a bad partnership and now it's okay and great because I'm just not in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm me and it's great.
I was just going to say, we all know it's easier to leave something if you have something else lined up.
Yep.
And it is more rare that people have the courage to leave anything without having something else lined up, whether it be a relationship, a job, like, you know, all those big things. And I especially also appreciate you sharing essentially not having this, you know, put a bow on it relationship at the end. And I relate to you personally because as someone that has herpes, I would only hear stories from people that were married. It was only the people that were married that got out of the trenches that kind of were like, oh, now I'm open to talking about my struggles of herpes because I've won. And I was very like
I found this person who's
And it would be like, okay, well, where are the other single people like also going through this like with me type of thing? So,
you know what makes me so sad about that is like, when did this happen where like we are defined by that, by like being in this partnership and having, and not like I have an amazing career. I have an amazing side hustle. I have the best family and friends you could ever ask for. And I have honestly, and very single, never felt more stable and secure in my life, ever.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, same. I think it's
why don't we talk about that, like, as a society? That's the part that, like, saddens me. You know, like, listening to what you just said, Erica, like, why is the happy ending like, oh, I have herpes and I'm married? Why isn't I have herpes and I'm living my best life?
Yeah, it's because people are scared. I think a lot of times they're scared to be judged. So we commend you for coming on here and sharing your story. As we know, it's not easy to share things that you look back on and go, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I put up with XYZ. I can't believe I went back another time. Like, it takes a lot of courage to share those things that essentially don't make us look like, quote, the best people or people that have it all together. But, like, that's real life shit.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? As someone who was, like, searching to hear this from someone else, like, that's who I hope to be right now. I hope someone listening is thinking like, oh my God, like, I see those red flags, or I'm living that life and I can start over. And even if I don't end up with someone else right away, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've all had moments of being with someone and feeling that I don't want to start over.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back out there and start over. And I've stayed with people like longer than I should have, kind of having that thought in my mind. And mine was because of herpes. Yours was for different reasons. And it's like, I think it's relatable across the board. So again, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
Totally agree. And also, Tara, along the lines of like connecting with people and, you know, filling that gap that you mentioned, I would love to wrap this with you telling us about the social club that you've put together.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we started a social club actually with one of your listeners. So when we,
It's so cool.
It's so cool, especially cause I'm in Toronto. So because I posted on my story and you reshared it, this lovely human reached out to me like through DMs and she was like, hey, like fellow Finding Mr. Height listener and fellow Torontonian, I'd love to connect. So we started chatting and like, honestly, just such a badass woman. Shout out Maeve, because she's listening to this for sure. Like badass crown attorney, which is like, I think a DA in the States in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. Like so beautiful inside and out, just like a cool, cool girl. Anyways, we connected, we started talking and I woke up the next morning and I tend to think a little too big, but I will never stop. And I thought if she exists and if I exist, like there's more of us in Toronto. And I started an Instagram account and it.
And is this a social club that just like gets together to just meet new people,
yeah,
do activities together?
Absolutely.
And
you guys did like a whole hike, right?
Yeah.
I saw that you had done a hike.
And it's certainly not for single people. Like it's for anyone in any season of life. Because let's be honest, at this age, like most of us have our crew that we've had for a while. Like, where do you meet new people? So if you want to meet new people outside of your own crew, come. Like it's for anyone in any season of life. We just had a hike. Then we have a paint and sip coming up in a couple of weeks, which is super fun. I'm the
so
least
fun. Creative
person you'll ever meet, but drink some wine and paint a picture. And it's just a really safe, cool space for women in Toronto.
What's the handle people can find you at?
Women's Social Club _TO.
Perfect.
Love it. We'll put it in the show notes too, so everybody has it.
Yeah. If anyone wants to reach out to me on my personal and just wants to connect with me and just talk about what you're going through, maybe if my story resonates, like I'm happy to talk to anyone and just let you know that you're less alone.
And what's your handle?
At Tara Resnick. It's very hard to find me.
We'll tag you as well. So that's so kind of you if anybody wants to reach out.
Please.
And echoing Erica, thank you again for coming on and sharing your story. It's so brave and I know that it's going to resonate with a lot of people.
And if any of you guys have a story you possibly want to submit for story time, check out our website and you can submit there and we'll have that also in the description. So thank you again, Tara, for coming on and thank you to everyone for listening this week.
Talk soon, everyone. Bye.